we pronounce to all of you here. Brahmanandam paramasukhadam kevalam jnanamurtim dvandvatitam gagana sadrisham tattvamasyadilakshyam ekam nityam vimalamachalam sarvadhe sakshibhutam bhavatitam trigunarahitam sadgurum tam namah. Om dakshinamurtaye tubhyam vatamoolanivasine dhyanaikaniratangaya namo rudraya shambhave reem om sadashivasamarambham shankaracharya madhyamam asmadacharya paryantam vande guru paramparam shruti smriti puranaanam alayam karunalayam namami bhagavatpada shankaram lokashankaram shankaram shankaracharyam keshavam padarayanam sutrabhashyakrutau vande bhagavantau punah punah. This year 2009 Guru Purnima falls on the 7th of July, that is the following Tuesday, you all know. Guru Purnima is celebrated in the month of the beginning of July sometimes in India, and this is a rainy season in India, supposed to be rainy season. When it rains, the gurus, the sadhus who teach shastram, who are parivrajakas, they can't move around much. Especially during rainy season, you can see lots of worms and insects flying and then wandering, you know, crawling. So they want to avoid the himsa. So traditionally they stay in one place from Guru Purnima day for 2 months. They stay in one place and they teach. They don't move much. 2 months means from when? From the day of Guru Purnima. And it is called Chaturmasya Vratam. They observe Chaturmasya Vratam. The word Masaha in the Sanskrit language means a month as well as a fortnight. We have another word for fortnight, Pakshaha. Pakshaha means fortnight. Masaha means month. But the word Masaha is used also to mean a month. So Chatur Masyam, when you say, it's a four fortnight, you know, the period of four fortnights. It's called Chaturmasya Pujya, and then they observe this vow of staying in one place. By the time the rainy season also will get over, and they stay and they do their japam, they do their prayers, they do their worship, and they teach people, they counsel people, they also serve. This Chaturmasya Vratam, you know, observed from the day of Guru Purnima in a given place. And on this Chatur, Guru Purnima day, we worship Gurus. We have day Father's Day celebration, Mother's Day celebration, Women's Day celebration, and we have day celebration day for so many things. And in India we have day for worshipping Gurus. This is called Guru Purnima day. It's a special day when we worship Gurus. It's a big doubt. Who is a guru? Who is a guru? If you see the very word guru, If you say simply Guru, without the sound Guruhu, the Guru means big, huge and heavy. And Guruhu, if you say, it means the teacher. And they say, we have a text called Guru Gita, wherein the word Guru is explained. The meaning of the word Guru is explained. This letter Gu stands for ignorance. Gukaro andhakaraha rukarastha nivartakaha. Gu stands for ignorance, and Ru stands for the one who dispels the darkness of ignorance. For Guru together mean the dispeller of ignorance. One who dispels the darkness of ignorance is Guru. And here, so Guru is a human being. Definitely Guru is a human being. And one has to communicate. Traditionally, Guru means the one who communicates the subject matter of the Shastra. And here, do we worship the human form then? No. We invoke the Lord in Guru. Guru, we leave the human element in the Guru. We relegate the human element. And we take only the truth element in the Guru. And we invoke the Guru, the Lord in Guru. So Lord, Guru, the human form, any form for that matter, becomes an altar for invoking the grace of the Lord the whole. And here, this Guru Purnima is also known as Vyasa Purnima. Not only Guru Purnima, is also known as Vyasa Purnima. Because Vyasa, there are so many teachers, gurus who were before Vyasa. And we know Vyasa is the one now written so many legends and sutras and all those things. So we take Vyasa, Vyasa is Uttapan as the link between the teachers who were there before him and who came after him. So we have Vyasa, and we also have Shankara, and we also have other teachers, other schools of thought. So Vyasa is there, and then it's also called Vyasa Purnima. And we say, who is the Guru? We say Guru is the foremost. The Lord himself is the Guru. That is why there is a verse, Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam. Who is the Guru foremost of the lineage of teachers? But there are so many teachers. You know, every student who learns the Shastram, scriptures, systematically, regularly, you know, for length of time, from a competent teacher, who would have been a student of another teacher, becomes a guru later on. One who has been a teacher, a student, can become a teacher of Shastras. He is a guru. We use this word guru. Any teacher in our culture, is any teacher is looked upon as a guru. A music teacher is a guru, Sangeeta guru. Dance teacher is a Nritya guru. Even the one who teaches any language like Hindi, Hindi Pandit becomes a guru. Look at our culture. We bow to any teacher, language teacher. Everybody is a guru. And this word has become very famous in Western culture also. And we have now management guru, so many. The word guru is used to mean any teacher. But according to tradition, guru is the one who imparts spiritual knowledge. I don't say we should not use the word guru to mean other teachers. But mainly the word guru is used to mean the one who imparts the spiritual knowledge. So the guru is supposed to be the Kshatriya and Brahmanishtha. Again, the Taittiriya Upanishad, he mentioned the one part of Taittiriya Upanishad, he talked about the conversation between Rigveda and his father Varuna. And so here, the same Upanishad talks about the qualification of a guru. Who is a guru? Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam Abhigachet. This is a sentence. Guru must be the Shrotriyaha and Brahmanishtaha. What do you mean by Shrotriyaha and Brahmanishtaha? Shrotriyaha means the one who has profound knowledge of scriptures. And it's not he is not the one who simply mechanically by-hearted the mantras and who simply interprets as he wants, as he likes. No. The one who remains steadfast in the vision of reality, one who has the ascertained doubt-free vision of the reality. How many people know Tamil here? How many of you speak Tamil? Okay. I won't use much Tamil. I want to say one sentence in Tamil, I won't do that. Okay. So one who remains steadfast, one who has the ascertained doubt-free vision of the oneness of reality is Brahmanishtaha. So the one who plays the role of a guru is one who has thorough, clear understanding of reality, thereby one who has profound knowledge of the Shastras, and one who can communicate, one who can give the vision. So the teacher is the one who can make the student see what the teacher sees. So that's why in our culture we use this word preacher and teacher. If I simply make you believe what I believe forcefully or by repeatedly saying something, and I become a preacher. And it may be what I make you believe may be verifiable or non-verifiable. If I make you understand what I understand, which doesn't contradict with your reasoning, which you don't simply believe, which I make a fact, which I make you understand and see what I see, then it is teaching. So teacher is the one who gives vision, is the teacher. And here we say, why do we worship the guru, the human form? We don't worship the human form, I told you. We invoke the Lord in human form. We leave the relegated human form and we take the truth in human form, and we invoke the Lord, the Lord. Lord himself is the guru, foremost of the gurus. That is why we have the Dakshinamurti form. I don't know how many of you visited South India and also North India, and you have seen any Shiva temple, you would have seen Dakshinamurti's form sitting, placed facing the southern direction. Have you seen Dakshinamurti? Have you heard of the word Dakshinamurti at least? Dakshinamurti. It's very auspicious to utter the name of the Lord as Dakshinamurti. Come and say that, because you have done so many songs. Say Dakshinamurti. Say that. Dakshinamurti. I was very happy when he said something from Upanishad. I'm very happy. Okay? So, Dakshinamurti, he said. No, why Dakshinamurti is the Adi Guru. Again, you ask me, who is Dakshinamurti, Swamiji? You are talking about, on Guru Purnima day, if I don't talk about Dakshinamurti, it's a papa, papa. As a tradition teacher coming to you, you invited me, giving sparing of precious time, and asked me to say something, and our friend who got into my classes, and he said, Swamiji, can take 20 minutes to talk. But let me talk about Dakshinamurti. So much you have to say about a guru and a guru. See, Dakshinamurti is the personification. Like how we have many forms. We worship the Lord as Shiva, Lord as Vishnu, Lord as Subramanya, Lord as Ganesha. We worship Lord as Devi also. Devi. Now worship Lord in many forms. We invoke the Lord even in Baba's form. Understand? Because we can invoke. See, our culture allows it. We have no problem. Understand? We can invoke the Lord in any form. And we can look at it as the Lord and we can bow to it. No problem. We don't worship the human form. We invoke the Lord in human form. Satyam. This is a fact. This can be helped. This can be brought to understanding. But I need time. Okay? I don't do that now. So here we say, see, we invoke the Lord in different forms. We have no problem in having many forms. And in every form, we say Lord is one or many. How many lords are there? How many gods are there? How many gods are there?
One.
We say God is one or many? We don't say God is one. We don't say gods are many. We say what is there is only the Lord. Big difference, no? You say God is one, what about others? And who is that one God? If you say Shiva, others will fight, come and tell you, no, this is the different God, Vishnu. I'm sorry, Subramanya. I'm only Ganesha. It's a big problem, isn't it? Others will say, no, I'm not at all, only Christ is the Lord. I'll come and say, no, Allah is the Lord. Only say, may God is one, is a big problem. See, you are so comfortable to have all the pictures here because we say what is there is only the Lord. There is nothing which is not the Lord. Understand? Big difference. I tell you, this is our Hindu Shastras, scriptures, teach you this fact of all that is there is only Ishwaraha. Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagate. All that is there is only Bhagavan. There is no second thing other than Bhagavan. Understand? That is why you ask, how many gods are there? God is not one. Gods are not many. All that is there is only Ishwara, only the Lord. For example, because many of you are new here, let me tell you the smallest example. How do you say all that is there is only the Lord? The whole jagat is Ishwara. The whole universe is Ishwara for us. There's nothing which is not Ishwara. This is a fact about the Lord. See, we are worshipping the Lord, we pray to the Lord, we never try to understand what we mean by the word Lord. Without knowing who the Lord exactly is, without knowing how the Lord is, we worship the Lord, we bow to the Lord, we pray to the Lord. But Shastram, the role of a guru, the job of a guru is to make you understand who the Lord is. Understand? The worshipping and praying will come to an end only when you understand who the Lord is. Till then, you have to be worshipping and praying to the Lord. That is the culmination of human life. Understanding who Bhagavan is, how Bhagavan is, who Ishwara is, who the Lord is actually, whom we worship in many forms, in many names. Can you understand? That is the culmination of human life. That is the greatest of the accomplishments of human life. So the whole life is lived ultimately to discover this fact about Bhagavan. But it's a fact, we are not simply believing what others say. If I tell you, hey, water, what is water? What is the fact about the water? You will all know, all the children here, all the elders, everybody, very thoroughly, very clearly, you will say, hey, water, the fact about the water is nothing H2O. The fusion of hydrogen, oxygen is water. You will all say easily, H2O is water. This is the fact about the water. Will you deny it? No. Why? It is a verifiable fact. Even though you never experimented this, how does the fusion of oxygen and hydrogen? You have been studying from childhood, from 6th standard, 4th standard, 3rd standard, and you would have thoroughly studied. Now you have this fact, it is a fact, it has gone into your mind, it is ingrained in your mind, even deep in the middle of the night. No? Somebody wakes you up and asks you, you will say, what is H2O? Water. You saw the fact is so thorough in you. No, it is a fact. And you know, simply, what is a fact? What is a belief? If it is verifiable, it is a fact. Understand? A fact should be verifiable. Similarly, there is a fact about the Lord. What is the fact about the Lord? All that is there is only the Lord. There is no second thing other than the Lord. That is why when you see each other, whether you say Hari Om or Sai Ram, doesn't matter, we greet each other, we give anjali towards, we say to each other, we namaste to each other, now we bow to each other, because I see the Lord in your form, you see the Lord in my form, we always say paraspara namaskaraha, because from me all that I see is Ishwara, Understand? For you, all that you see is Ishvara. Therefore, we need, I invoke the Lord in your form, you invoke the Lord in my form. So that's why we meet each other like this. Nothing which is not Ishvara here. That's why hereafter, if we tell how many gods are there, we say, what is, there's only God. Everything is God. All that is there is only God. And this we can understand with reference to small example. We go to, suppose we go to Kanwal. There we see the sea here. How can you see what you see here? In somewhere nearby. No, anyway. Anji took me to Kanwal where I saw the sea. You know, you see the sea, and the sea, of course, you all would have seen in India and elsewhere, everywhere, Sri Lanka, in between Sri Lanka and India. So the sea is full of waves. What is the sea? All the waves together constitute the ocean. And we say, we see ocean, we see many waves, and we also see water. And we say there is one thing, if I remove, the word ocean becomes meaningless. One substance if we remove, the word wave or waves become meaningless. What is that one thing, one substance? Water. If we take away water, then is there ocean still? Will there be waves still? No. Therefore, if what is that without which the word ocean will not exist at all, it will be meaningless, the ocean cannot exist at all. What is that without which the, all these waves cannot exist at all, is the truth of the ocean, reality of the ocean. So with reference to ocean and waves, we say water is the reality. Similarly, with reference to this incomprehensibly vast universe also, there is reality. That is what the child, I heard this child saying, no, reality, no, reality, fullness of reality. She said, she ended her speech saying it. It was nice to hear the word reality. No, and our friend mentioned the word Brahman. So Brahman is a Sanskrit term used to mean, used to imply the reality. So what is Brahman? Brahman is the word used to imply the reality. And with reference to this whole universe, there is a reality. One reality. And that reality is Brahman. We say that reality is the Lord of the universe. Reality is the Lord of the universe. And we do not know what that reality is. We do not know. And here we say, see, there is no distance between water and ocean. Please listen to me, children. There is no distance. I am a little bored if I am a tradition teacher. I can't help it. So there is no distance between water and the ocean. Similarly, there is no distance between the unknown reality and the universe. There is no place where there is no water in the ocean. The entire ocean is completely, totally, in and through, pervaded by water. Similarly, the whole jagat, this universe, this cosmos also is pervaded by the reality. You cannot say there is no, where the reality is not there. Everything is reality. We cannot say water is a wave. Is water a wave? No. Is water an ocean? No. But what is wave? Wave is nothing but water. The entire ocean is water. Every wave is water. Understand? There is nothing which is not? No wave. There is no wave which is not the water. There is no ocean which is not the water. But water is not the wave. Water is not the ocean. See here? Similarly, we do not know what Brahman is. What the reality of this universe is. We say absolute reality, ultimate truth, Paravastu, Param Brahma. We do not know what it is. But this one, the reality, Brahman is not anything. As you are saying, Brahman is not Annam. Brahman is not the food. But food is Brahman. Understand? Reality is not prana. But prana is reality. So clear? Please listen to me carefully. Water is not the wave, but the wave is water. Water is not the waves, but all the waves are nothing but water. Water is not the ocean, but the entire ocean is nothing but water. Similarly, Brahman, the reality of the universe, is not the universe, but the whole universe is what? Brahman. Understand? Therefore, the whole universe is what? Manifestation of that reality. The whole universe is the Lord. Entire ocean is water. Similarly, the whole cosmos is reality, the Lord. Lord is not the universe, but the universe is nothing but the Lord. But think. So Lord is not Annam. Lord is not Prana. Lord is not the mind. Understand? Brahman is not the mind. Brahman is not intellect. But body is Brahman. Body is the Lord. Annam is Ishvara, Bhagavan. Prana is Ishvara. Mind is Ishvara. Intellect is Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. What is that which is manifest as everything? We do not know. For only to know that, what is that which is manifest as prana, which is manifest as body, which is manifest as intellect, which is manifest as mind, which is not only the subtle things, not only the gross things, all that you see, which alone is manifest as the elements, which alone is manifest as all the elementals, the inert beings. The only reality is manifest as the inert beings. The only reality is manifest as the all sentient animate beings. The mobile living beings, immobile beings, all the plants, everything. We are singing. You are the sun, you are the moon. Everything is Lord. What is it which is manifest as everything? It's a fact about the Lord. Everything is Ishvara. It's a fact about the Lord. What is the reality? What is the reality which is manifest as everything? Not exactly seen, but everything is that. That reality is not anything, but everything is that reality. Understand? What is the reality? In fact, that is what the Guru's job. Understand? The teacher, the spiritual teacher, is the one who helps you discover that reality which is manifest as everything as you. Understand? That is, we call it a Mahavakyam. In every Veda, we have statement called Mahavakyam. Mahavakyam means, a vakyam means a simple sentence. See, anybody, any Hindi speaking, Gujarati speaking, Tamil speaking person can understand a Sanskrit sentence very simple. Vakyam is a sentence. And Mahavakyam is a great sentence. What great sentence? A statement of fact which reveals an identity between you and the Lord. We have so many Mahavakyams in Veda. We are singing, everything is you. Oh Lord, when you say, sun is you, Lord, moon is you, everything is you. No? So you sing everything. This we sing, it's called glorifying the Lord. When we sing, everything is you, it's called glorifying the Lord. It's a form of worship. That's fine. We have to do that. In long term, what should we get? Everything is you, I'm also you. Okay? You have to know. Shastram tells, the Guru teaches, hey, you are also the Lord. You sing, Lahan is Lord, Moon is Lord, everything is Lord. You are also Lord. Why do you include? Why don't you include yourself? You're also the Lord. And this is a fact. Everything is Ishvara. Your everything is Ishvara means what about you? The whole universe is Ishvara. Where are we? Do you want to isolate from the universe yourself, or you want to include it as a part of the whole? Tell me. Are you part of the whole, or are you outside of the whole? Therefore, if everything is Ishvara, what about you? Tell me. Not half sentence. And this is a fact. Okay? That's another sentence. The teacher teaches Tat Tvam Asi. See, don't take spiritual teaching not simply coming and going. Not simply coming and saying something. This one has to unfold this statement. Suppose the physics teacher comes in and he tells you, come on, listen to me all of you. I'm going to teach an equation today. E is equal to mc square. He walks out. You all be happy? What physics teacher is he? He comes and tells some alphabets. E is equal to mc square. What is this? You all know it is an equation. It has to be unfolded. It has to be step by step. It has to be taught. Then you understand, my God, how E is equal to mc square. Energy is matter. You understand so beautifully. But systematically it has to be taught. And anybody who never studied physics cannot teach you properly. Who has studied very systematically, with the help of the professor, physics professor, with all humility, with all shraddha, he would have understood it. And once he is very clear about that equation, and he can beautifully teach, he becomes an excellent physics professor. And students will love the physics professor's class. Similarly, here also, now the Vedanta teacher's job is help you understand this equation. What is the equation? Tat Tvam Asi means you are that Ishvara, you are that Lord. When we sing, everything is Lord. Sun is Lord, moon is Lord, earth is Lord, plants are Lord, heart is Lord, mind is Lord, everything is Lord. It's glorifying the Lord. It's worship, form of worship. When the teacher tells you, you are that Lord, that means that Lord, that fullness, that reality, that happiness, what you are seeking is yourself. You are the Lord. This is also an equation. Tattvamasi also is an equation. You are equated to that Lord. So this equation also needs to be unfolded. They simply tell you, you are the Lord. You are the Lord. You are already confused about the Lord. One more confusion added to you. And go back, my God, I was peacefully, happily worshipping the Lord and praying the Lord, attending this Balika's classes, wonderful thing you are doing. It is a fine thing. That's how you grow. Now go to Balika's, learn bhajans and be part of it, learn all good things, and slowly this is how the mind is prepared for this, understanding this fact. Initially, suppose as soon as you get into something you are taught, big mathematics, physics, you can't understand. You should have gone to kindergarten class, then go to UKG, then class high school, then you have to go to university, then you understand. You need to be mature enough to understand this fact. Similarly, here also, during this going to Balika's classes, learning this discipline, all the preparing your mind for overnight, you can't understand this. Preparing your mind for understanding the subtlest fact of the equation of yourself being equated to the Lord. So Satyam is a fact. And this has to be unfolded, this be explained. And our Shastras, I tell you the key example, I can't make sense of the whole thing, but I can also tell you this little bit. Suppose the wave, one wave is told, one big wave comes and tells another small wave, come on, O wave, we are searching for the Lord of the ocean. And you are Lord, in fact. You are the ocean. Wave is ocean. One big wave tells the small wave, you are an ocean. You want to become an ocean, you can never become an ocean. You are already an ocean. You are the Lord. And the wave was wondering, my God, I'm so small. And the ocean is so big. How can I be the ocean? Understand? I'm so small. Ocean so big. How can I be the ocean? Then the ocean, the big wave, the teacher wave tells, come on, you have to seek the different meaning. Don't see from the standpoint of name and form, wave is small. Ocean is big. What is ocean? It's a name of a form. What is wave? It's a name of a given form. Form from the standpoint of the name and the form, ocean is very small, ocean is big. What is this name and form? Name and form, nothing but something which exists depending upon the reality. So what is the truth of the name and form wave? Water. What is the truth of the name and form ocean? Water. From the standpoint of the name and form, wave is small, ocean is big, wave is definitely different from the ocean. But from the standpoint of the truth of the wave and the truth of the ocean, wave is non-different from the ocean. Understand? From the standpoint of the reality, wave is what? Ocean. Why? Because wave is water, ocean is water, water is one indivisible partless whole, therefore wave is ocean. From which standpoint? The standpoint of the reality. But from the standpoint of the name and the form, which are only seeming existence, there's definitely difference. So there is difference, there's also non-difference. From two different standpoints. If there is no difference between wave and ocean at all, you cannot equate the ocean. You don't need to equate the wave with the ocean. If there is no difference between wave and ocean, you cannot equate wave with the ocean. If there is really a difference between wave and ocean, then equation is not possible. Is it clear? There must be difference between wave and ocean. There must also be non-difference between wave and ocean. Then equation is possible. There must be difference plus there must be non-difference. Only then equation is possible. That is why wave is ocean means when you say that there is difference between wave and ocean. Wave is small, ocean is big from the standpoint of name and form. But from the standpoint of the reality of the wave and the reality of the ocean, there is no difference, it's non-difference. This is what understanding the non-difference is difference. Understand? This is how, wave from the standpoint of your name and form, the physical appearance, the subtle appearance, your mind, from the standpoint of the mind you have, the standpoint of intellect you have, the standpoint of physical body you have, from the standpoint of all the capacities you are blessed with, you are endowed with, you are different from the Lord the whole. From the standpoint of reality, the truth, there is no difference between you and the Lord. You are the Lord. Understand? This is not a proper unfoldment. I'm just giving you an idea because many children from other Sai Center approached me because they were told by their classmates, they were teased by their classmates. Some children came to me for Balak, I don't know, maybe somewhere, some children here in East Ham. They came to me 2-3 years ago and they said, oh, my friends are teasing me, Swamiji, look, I'm worshipping monkey god, you're worshipping the elephant god. No, not elephant, not god actually. They said, you're worshipping monkey, you're worshipping elephant, so our friends are teasing, so and we have so many gods, you know, you put one more god here. And then Baba, I said, you can put so many forms. I said, not only worship this, worship trees, worship mountains, you worship rivers, you worship water, worship everything. Go and tell your friend, worship everything, not only monkeys, mosquito, ant, worm, even HIV virus you can worship. Virus rupa, HIV virus rupaya namaha. Now swine rupaya namaha. No, everything is issue of others. Just bow to that, keep away. Why? Because for us there is nothing which is not Ishvara here. All that is, there is only Ishvara. All that is, there is only Bhagavan. That is why we can't worship the Bhagavan, the whole. No, why? Because yourself being part of the whole Bhagavan, how can you worship the Bhagavan? When yourself being part of the Ishvara, how can you pray to Bhagavan? That is what we need to relate to Ishvara. We need to worship, we need to pray until we recognize this truth of yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan. But to worship, we need an altar. Understand? You need an altar. If you bow to one wave, you bow to the very water which is manifest as the entire ocean. That is why any one form becomes an altar for the whole, the Lord. And that's why we bow to the feet of parents, bow to the feet of the Lord, we can have everything. You must be knowing in India worship, we come around the neem trees and all the, so many trees, beautiful trees, every tree we worship, everything we worship. Therefore, you can tell, very easy to know, you feel very comfortable. There's nothing which is not Ishvara. Understanding, accept and understanding of this fact alone will help us to accommodate all other cultures in spite of their limitations being there. Not simply accepting them. Understand? So thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. And this is the teaching to be done by a spiritual teacher. Understand? It has been made very clear. That is why worship Guru Gurus on this day of Guru Purnima. Understand?